Let's pray. Father, thank you for the awesome privilege of praise and worship and thanksgiving. Thank you that we can gather as your people to sing your praise because you are worthy. You deserve it. It is the least we can do to take time to stand and sing your praises, to enjoy your presence. And Lord, as we open your word together, I pray that you would be at work in our hearts, that you would open our hearts and minds to see more of you, to see more of Jesus, to grow in our relationship with you. And Lord, that you would stir in us appropriate responses to who you truly are. We ask it in Jesus' name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm thankful for. How would you finish that sentence? In your notes, if you'd like to, take a moment, write down the first few things that come to mind. I'm thankful for. And if we were to go around the room and ask, we won't, you're safe. But if we were to go around the room and ask what you wrote, I'm sure we would hear things like family, friends, maybe a pet, a place to live, basic necessities. And those are good things to be thankful for. Of course, we're in church, so we would also hear things like God, Jesus, the gospel, salvation, things like that, because we know those are supposed to be the right answers, right? Again, those things are good, important things to be thankful for. But as followers of Jesus, we want the Bible to inform and instruct our thanksgiving. And in preparation for this message, I wanted to see what kinds of things are the subjects of thanksgiving. What does the Bible say about thanksgiving in the New Testament specifically? So I entered in the search engine of my Bible software, thank asterisk, and the wild card there will return any occurrence of thank, thanks, thanksgiving, thankful, etc. I got 65 results in the New Testament, so I went through those, I put them in categories, I sifted those through to say, okay, these are kind of all about this, or parallel passages in the Gospels. See what kinds of things, what are the main things that the Bible is thankful for, that expressions of thanksgiving are, don't worry, we're not going to cover all of those this morning, but we will go through a lot of them. So buckle up. Here we go. And remember, to start out with, this is from last week, thanksgiving is not optional. All humanity, according to Romans 1, is under God's judgment for our guilty failure to give thanks. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. We were created. We were made to be in relationship with God. We were created to give him thanks and praise and worship. That's what we were made for. And when we honor God as God, when we worship with him, when we give him that thanks that is his due, we find fulfillment in doing what we were created to do. We find purpose, meaning in life. A few other practical benefits we receive when we give thanks. Philippians 4:6, thankfulness replaces anxiety. Do you worry? Be purposeful in prayer and thanksgiving. Allow that to replace your anxiety. Do you find when you stop and think about what comes out of your mouth or things you post online, mostly positive, mostly negative? Ephesians 5 tells us to replace filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking with thanksgiving. Jesus gives us a negative example in Luke 18 of thanksgiving gone sour. A self-righteous religious person thanks God that he's not as bad as that dirty, rotten sinner over there. And then he goes on to itemize his performance. Look at me, look at what I do, look at all these good things I do. He was giving thanks, supposedly, when he should have been confessing his sins and crying out for God's mercy. Thanksgiving, by definition, is giving thanks for a gift undeserved, received. Not proud boasting that views oneself as deserving. Every time I give thanks, I acknowledge I've been given a gift. A gift I don't deserve. And I want to say thank you to the giver of that gift. That's what thanksgiving is. This guy got it wrong. This understanding of thanksgiving makes sense of when thanksgiving comes from unlikely places. Luke 17, for instance, there were 10 men with leprosy crying out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us." Luke 17, verse 14, when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. If you understand the culture at all, Samaritans were considered dogs, filth, refuse, worse than the worst, half-breeds by the good upright Jews. Out of the 10, the Samaritan returned to give thanks to Jesus. Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" By the way, notice, who is the Samaritan falling on his face before? Jesus. Who does Jesus say he's giving praise to? God. This Samaritan, an outsider, probably viewed himself as least deserving and therefore was most filled with gratitude. This also fits with one of the few recorded prayers of thanksgiving that Jesus offered to his Father. Both Matthew and Luke, in the context of pronouncing woes on unbelieving cities in which many of Jesus' mighty works had been done, record Jesus' prayer. Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The sovereign will of the Father in hiding truth from those who are wise in their own eyes, revealing it to those who are children, ready to receive what they know they don't deserve. That's a matter of gratitude and praise for Jesus. Jesus viewed what we would call common graces as occasions for gratitude. Everything is a gift. Jesus gave thanks for food. I've often wondered, why do we pray? Why do Christians often pause and pray before a meal? And sometimes you forget and you're halfway through the meal. It's like, we're eating unblessed food. This is terrible. There's some kind of curse going to come on us. My brother had a great response to that. He said there's actually a psalm for that. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Bless his name. Yeah. Love my brother. He's great. Jesus gave thanks for food, and he taught us to recognize every meal, no matter how small, as supernatural provision for our needs. When he took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed over 5,000, or when he took 7 loaves and a few small fish and fed a multitude of over 4,000, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. He gave thanks. His apostles, following Jesus, looked at issues of food and drink, specifically those divisive issues over what is permitted, what is not permitted in observance of dietary restrictions. They taught the issue is not about what you eat, what you drink. It's about the attitude with which you eat and drink. God created food to be received with thanksgiving. Everything God created is good, 1 Timothy says, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. There's another meal Jesus gave thanks for, this time bread and wine. Matthew 26, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This was a Passover meal, commemorating God's deliverance of his people from Egypt. It involved a lamb killed as a substitute. Jesus turned this celebration toward its greater fulfillment in himself as the Passover lamb who was sacrificed for us. If Jesus himself, looking forward to what he would accomplish for us on the cross, if he in that context gave thanks, how much more should this be a time for us of thanksgiving? Some Christian traditions refer to communion as the Eucharist. That's the Greek word for giving thanks that we find in these passages. It's a time of thanksgiving for what Jesus did for us. Early in the Gospel of Luke, thanksgiving was made for the unfolding fulfillment of God's promises. Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon and Anna, an elderly woman, a widow, a worshiper, anticipating the prophecies, gave thanks to God for promises fulfilled, that God had sent his redemption in Jesus. And she spoke about him to everyone that would listen. This is Christ-centered thanksgiving. And Jesus, in a grand demonstration of his own claim to be the resurrection and the life, before raising Lazarus from the dead in John 11, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. This too, from the lips of Jesus, is Christ-centered thanksgiving. This is all about Jesus. This is bringing attention to the Son, that the Father would glorify the Son. When we come to the New Testament letters, the majority of them, they begin, they end with a word of thanksgiving. Most letters open with a word of thanksgiving for the churches. Romans 1, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Thanks because, 1 Corinthians, because the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, because of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, Ephesians, Colossians. Philippians says, because of your partnership in the gospel. 1 Thessalonians, your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Because, 2 Thessalonians 2, God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. These are gospel-centered thanksgiving. What God is doing in and through His people, through His Word, through the transforming message of Jesus Christ crucified for sinners. At the close of his letters, Paul often greets specific individuals, thanks God for them, for fellow workers in Christ Jesus who risked their necks for my life. Because I heard of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints, these are grounds for giving thanks. And the letters throughout are punctuated with specific expressions of thanksgiving. Listen, Romans 6, thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sins have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Romans 7, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. 2 Corinthians 8, thanks be to God who put it into the heart of Titus the same earnest care that I have for you. Colossians 1, may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. 1 Thessalonians 2, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. 1 Timothy 1, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Thanks is given for gospel transformation, gospel rescue, victory in Jesus, that the knowledge of Jesus is spreading everywhere, that God is stirring up in our hearts care for others. Thanks for Jesus Himself, for gospel qualification, gospel deliverance, gospel identity, for the apostolic preaching being received as God's word, for personal grace, being entrusted with the gospel message to give to others. Thanksgiving stems from the gospel. It is saturated with the gospel, the good news that Jesus died to rescue us, to set us free, to transform us, to give us a new identity in Jesus. In the gospel, there is so much to be thankful for. The assumption is made thanksgiving would be a public part of the meeting, the gathering of the local church. Paul instructs Timothy, first of all then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. The assumption was always that also that for those whose lives have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus, thanksgiving would permeate all of life. All of life. Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When? always. For what? Everything. Does that include the bad things? Yeah. Because we don't receive a what we would consider a bad thing, a bad experience in our life, save it has been filtered through the sovereign hand of God for our good, to grow us up in relationship with Him. So we thank God when we face trials, persecution, those kinds of things. Giving thanks always and for everything. Colossians 2, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk Him in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 3, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians 4, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So many people, what's the will of God for my life? Should I marry this person, that person, take this job, that job, live here, live there? What does God want me to do? What's His will for my life? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for your life. Will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thanksgiving. It's what we were made for. What's the ultimate purpose of thanksgiving? We've looked at some of the blessings, the benefits that come our way when we have a grateful heart rather than a bitter, an anxious heart. Ultimately, thanksgiving brings glory to God. The apostles' ministry in advancing the gospel, according to 2 Corinthians 4, was ultimately all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgivings to the glory of God. This was Paul's purpose in the Gentiles in 2 Corinthians 9, giving generously to the saints in Jerusalem. He says to the Gentile church of Corinth, 2 Corinthians 9, you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints. That's the primary purpose. Let's feed hungry people in Jerusalem that are suffering, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God. Verse 14, because of the surpassing grace upon you, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Paul has this project. He's raising funds. He's raising support to care for needy people. But he says ultimately, it's bigger than meeting the temporary need. It's increasing thanksgiving to the glory of God. This is what we see in Revelation. Revelation 4, it's the four living creatures, these crazy creatures, giving glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne. And in response, the 24 elders respond with worship. Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. By your will they existed and were created. Thanksgiving stimulates worship around the throne. Revelation 7, a great multitude from all the nations crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Thanksgiving stimulates worship. Revelation 11, loud voices were saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is, who was. For you have taken your great power and begun to reign. You are. The nations rage, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, those who fear your name, both small and great, for destroying the destroyers of the earth. Thanksgiving stimulates worship of God. It's ultimately to the glory of God. We were made for thanksgiving. Our thanksgiving is a response to an undeserved gift. Thanksgiving is to be Christ-centered, gospel-saturated. Ultimately, it's to be to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, fix our eyes on you. Fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus. Who he is, what he came to do, what, Jesus, you did for the likes of us. Holy Spirit, thank you for opening blind eyes to see the truth and beauty of the good news of Jesus Christ, God the Son, crucified for me. Lord, help us to look to you, and in the looking, in the receiving, may our hearts simply burst with thanksgiving and praise and worship, because you're worthy, because you deserve it. Lord, we want you to be honored in our church, as we gather, in our individual lives, as we scatter. Lord, every moment, every day, give us a heart overflowing with thanksgiving and praise and worship to you, because you are worthy. You have given us so much. We are simply recipients of your amazing grace, and we are here today. We want to say thank you. We want to celebrate you. We want to enjoy this blood-bought relationship that we have with you. So be at work in each one of us. Open our hearts to more of you. We ask in Jesus' name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to invite some of our men to come and prepare to serve Eucharist. Good Greek word. This is what we give thanks for, communion. What greater thing to give thanks for but that the Father sent his only Son? That God so loved the likes of me that he sent his only Son to die on a cross, to bear the punishment I deserve, so that today I could be reconciled to a holy, a righteous, a just, a good God, so I could enjoy a relationship with him. Sins forgiven, a home in heaven, guaranteed, sealed with the Holy Spirit, bought with the blood of Jesus. If you're a believer in Jesus, this is for you. This is for us to remember together what Jesus did for you. If you're not a believer in Jesus, what I mean by that is you've thrown all your trust on him. You're depending on him and him alone, him completely, him plus nothing. You don't get to contribute other than your filth. you bring that to him and say, I would exchange this for your righteousness because this is the best I have. It's an offense against you. We come as sinners in need of mercy. We don't come self-righteous saying, well, look at my resume. You should be impressed with me, right? No. Those things are filthy rags in his sight. We come as receivers, recipients of his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his goodness, recipients of Jesus, who died to set us free, who comes to live inside us, to make us new by the Holy Spirit. We'll serve bread, juice. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you're clinging to him and him alone for your salvation, for as your only hope, take bread, take juice, hold that in your hand, reflect on what he did for you. Once we've all been served, we'll give thanks and we'll take that together as a body of believers in Jesus. Jesus, what a treasure. What an amazing gift we hold in our hands. Bread, juice, but reminders of what you did, pointers to who you are, why you came. To give your life in exchange for mine. To pay a price you didn't deserve. So that I could be set free. So that I could today enjoy your grace, your favor, your presence, your power, your rescue. You living inside, making me new. Thank you. What can we say but thank you for the greatest of all gifts you gave us, yourself. And we now simply receive with hearts overflowing with gratitude and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive Jesus' body broken for you. Take and eat. His blood poured out to wash us clean, to make us new.